You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Saints podcast, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where you get to hear the local experts on the biggest stories, your team, every day. Ross Jackson here, your host covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com, your source for up-to-the-minute Saints news for Saints fans by Saints fans. And you know what it is? Go ahead and throw me a follow over on Twitter, at RossJacksonASC. And if this is your first time catching the podcast, thank you so much for being here and welcome. Please be sure to rate, review, share, subscribe. All of that is a big help to me, but it also helps you keep up to date with all of the new episodes they drop every Monday through Friday. And remember, you can find Locked On Saints on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and of course the new podcasting app Himalaya, who delivers a personalized podcast experience for you, as well as just about anywhere else that you get your podcast. And when you're out on the road, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints. And as you've heard throughout the week, we're very excited because this show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own hotels and get rewarded basically everywhere. Go out there, Hotels.com. Be there, do that, and get rewarded. Houdat family, and thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. Apologies for the delay. I try to have these out the night before usually, but today's episode is coming out the day that it's actually supposed to be released because I'm slowly starting to get sick. I can feel it, and it's starting in my voice, so I'm also sorry if that affects the quality of today's episode, but I'm doing everything that I need to get past that to keep making sure that I am here for you Monday through Friday. That will not change. If I have to be up here hoarse on Thursday, I'm going to be up here bucking and doing it. It's no problem at all. Just know you might hear a little bit of throat clear, you might hear a little bit of cough, all that kind of stuff. I'll try to edit out what I can, but sometimes I miss stuff like that. So thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. We're going to keep it brief today. I say that all the time, don't I? But we have just three quick things that I want to talk about. First of all, I've got some responses saying that the Saints don't need Gerald McCoy and that he'd be a waste of money. I'll tell you why that's absolutely not true. Then we'll talk about yesterday's roster move and visit for the Saints. And we'll close out by talking about some of the news from around the league, including a still available wide receiver that I really like and news on the committee meeting so far in Miami. We got all of that and a little bit of lanyard for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. As always, I appreciate y'all being here. All right, so let's go ahead and jump in here. So I used yesterday's episode to talk about how the Saints can afford Gerald McCoy, as well as why they should bring him in. I guess one of the things that I didn't establish clearly is what the need is for somebody like Gerald McCoy on the Saints team. Because I'm hearing a lot of people talking about, like, oh, well, we just signed Malcolm Brown and Mario Edwards Jr. Taylor Stallworth is there. Kenny Bigelow is an undrafted free agent that I really like, yada, yada, yada. So look, here's the thing. I get all of that, right? I hear you 100%, but you have to look at this. You have to understand Taylor Stallworth is a nose tackle. He was a three-man front guy for the Saints last season. Very successful, especially as an undrafted free agent. But just as a player, very successful in that position. Nose tackle, though. Malcolm Brown, nose tackle. Who was the other? Oh, Sylvester Williams was signed as somebody to come in and compete. He's signed after rookie minicamp and his tryouts. Nose tackle, right? He's a nose tackle as well. He was a big dude for the three-man front when the Denver Broncos shifted to a 3-4 defense in 2015 and then won the Super Bowl. That's Sylvester Williams' game. He's a nose tackle. That's what he does. You look at Mario Edwards Jr. and you want to let Mario Edwards Jr. be flexible. You want to let him be versatile. That's one of the reasons why the Saints signed him. But if you're signing him specifically to be a three tech, he's about to potentially be the only three tech on the roster to start the season. And so you're really not going to have that versatility until at least 2 to 4 games into the season, potentially. Now, we know that Sheldon Rankins is a three tech and he can play nose and three, but he's not going to be able to start the season at all. He's not going to be there until after the bye week. A lot of people are talking about 4 or 5 games. No, he's probably not going to be there until week 9, week 10. After the bye week, that's more than likely because he's probably going to start the year on physically unable to perform list. So he's got to get through half the season and then he's got to be able to practice. So you're not going to see him in the first 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know where you're getting that, but that's just not the case. Now, when it comes to David Onyemata, he could potentially start the season at three tech and be okay, but then he's also got the looming marijuana possession arrest that could lead to a suspension for the first 2 to 4 games of the season. So we don't know what's going to happen with him. And here's the thing. thing. We need to stop talking about this like we're just talking about signing Gerald McCoy for half the season. That's not the case. Gerald McCoy is a Super Bowl team building sign. That's who Gerald McCoy is. Gerald McCoy is the dude that you sign that comes in and boosts your team. He's an upgrade over, I just named what, six players? He's an upgrade over five of them. Like he's not the type of guy that you're gonna sign and then just hope that he can work for, you know, half the season until Sheldon Rankins returns. No, Sheldon Rankins returns, and then you've got Gerald McCoy and Sheldon Rankins on the same defensive line. That's what you're looking at. You're not looking for somebody to just come in here and sort of be a mercenary for half the season. That's not the case, and we need to stop talking about it like that's what it is. The Saints can sign this dude to a multi-year contract. That could be a two-year contract. That could be a three-year contract. You saw the breakdown, and you heard me talk about the breakdown of how they can make a three-year contract affordable, even if the $8.7 million right now that the Saints are sitting on doesn't include rookie signings, they'll still have about $5.5 million left. You restructure one contract, you Loomis your way through this, and then you've got the money that you need to bring in Gerald McCoy on a $13 million deal, which doesn't mean giving up $13 million in salary this season. You can do that and only give up $7 million in terms of what the cap hit is. So again, just to remind everybody, this is not an impossible signing for the Saints. There is need on the Saints defensive line for an interior presence like Gerald McCoy. Let me actually say it this way. There is a need for 31 other NFL teams for a presence like Gerald McCoy on the defensive line. You just saw Gerald McCoy get cut by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after having six Pro Bowl seasons and then actually making a first team All-Pro. And I think he made two second team All-Pro years as well. And because they didn't want to pay him $13 million. And then they turned around and signed Ndamukong Suh to a one-year deal. And you have to imagine that deal was in place before they made the decision to cut Gerald McCoy, because you don't quit a job and then go find a job. You find a new job and then you quit the old job. Like, that's the way that this works. And that's the way that the NFL works when it comes to signing these players. It's very, very unlikely at this point in the season that they just randomly made the decision to move on from Gerald McCoy and then Ndamukong Suh just fell into their lap. That's not the case. Gerald McCoy has to be pissed about that. He's got to be upset about that. And this did not end as amicably in Tampa Bay as some would like you to believe. I mean, you can look at the comments from Bruce Arians and kind of figure that out. But if that's the case, the Saints not only have the need, not only have the money, and not only have the space for him, but they have the absolute best possible case scenario for Gerald McCoy to land there and play against the team that he probably feels slighted by twice a season, possibly for multiple seasons at that. And look, here's the other part of it too. Look at last season. The Saints went through the first eight games of their season dropping 30 or more points through six of those games. Six out of eight games they scored 30 or more points. A few of those they scored 40 or more. Then they went ahead and still signed Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant gets signed. He gets hurt the next day. And the same weekend, they dropped 51 points. They didn't need, quote unquote, Dez Bryant, but he presented an upgrade at that wide receiver two position. So even if you feel like Gerald McCoy isn't a need for the Saints, you have to admit that he's an upgrade at the position. The Saints don't settle. That's the bottom line here. The Saints do not settle. It's very possible, of course, that Gerald McCoy signs somewhere else. Of course, that's always been the case. You heard me talk about the other teams that are going to be interested in him and the other teams that I think are probably front runners in the chase for him. 100%. Completely get that. But knowing that the Saints don't settle is exactly why I believe that Gerald McCoy to the Saints is very much a possibility and there is a need for him in New Orleans. All right, we got to jump to a break because I'm way over time in my first segment here. I told y'all, I always say I'm going to keep it brief and I never do. But when we come back, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Saints move from yesterday and a visit that they had. That segment will be short and then we'll close up by taking a look at some news from around the league. Got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Look, it's a well-known fact that men are stubborn. We don't like to talk about how we're feeling. We don't like to talk about what's going on. We don't like to talk about things that we think are wrong with us. That's just what it is. But now, if you're having an issue and you need that extra performance in bed, there's an easy way to deal with it to where you don't have to talk to people. You don't have to do in-person doctor visits. You ain't got to go to a pharmacy. You don't have to deal with people. You can just get the help that you're looking for by going to BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, so you know that they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they also work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can always be ready whenever the opportunity arises, even if it all happens in a moment that's completely unexpected and spontaneous. That's the beauty of Blue Chew. The other part of it is that, look, it's not just for guys that can't perform. It's for anybody that wants some extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships directly to your door in a discreet package. So just like I said, there's no more awkwardness, and they're made in the USA. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special offer for our listeners. Just visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Promo code locked on to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, Huda Nation, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Thank you so much for being here. And remember, Locked On Saints is here every Monday through Friday throughout the offseason, keeping you up to date with everything going on with your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints. So be sure to subscribe so you know when the newest episodes drop every single Monday through Friday. And the easiest and best way to do that, I would say, is to do it through the Himalaya Podcast app. Head over to your app store and download the Himalaya Podcasting app, because in an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlist and new features every single day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to the podcast Locked On Saints. All right, y'all. So let's go ahead and talk about one of the moves, or the only move really, that was made yesterday. We saw a pair of roster moves made where they signed former Panthers defensive end Wes Horton and then released undrafted linebacker Daryl Williams. Now, not a huge surprise to see Daryl Williams go. There's not really a lot of space on the linebackers in the linebacker core really at all for the Saints team, which is very exciting to be able to say. But when it comes to the signing of Wes Horton, a lot of people came back with, you know, who is that? Who are you even talking about? Who and everything like that. So I'm gonna tell you a little bit about who Wes Horton is. Wes spent 6 seasons with the Carolina Panthers, racked up 15 and a half sacks while he was there. He was a rotational guy for the most part. In one of his seasons, he started at least 16. I believe he started 16 games, if I remember correctly. But the big thing to realize here is that back in 2017, he saw one of his best seasons with 5.5 sacks and 3 forces fumbled as well. And then in 2019, you kind of saw him fall off, or 2018 rather, you kind of saw him fall off a little bit, 1.5 sacks. So he's a guy that's going to come in and he's going to be a rotational guy. He's not somebody that the Saints have signed that you have to worry about coming in and, you know, fighting for a spot as a starter or anything like that. That's not what this signing is. This signing is all about rotational veteran depth. That's what this is. So he's going to be coming in and competing with Carl Granderson, Corbin Calfusi, Porter Gustin, and of course, incumbent edge rotator Trey Hendrickson as well, who was drafted back in 2016. So you're not really looking at a guy that's going to come in and push for starting time or anything like that. That's not what this is about. This is more of that veteran depth signing. We've seen the Saints look at doing this for quite a while. We saw them, you know, get into trade talks with the Dolphins for Robert Quinn. We saw the visit and the medical check for Ziggy Ansah. They just weren't willing to move forward with those deals. So you get somebody like Wes Horton, who is a veteran, but still young at 29 years old, to come in and compete for that rotational spot and also give, potentially be able to lend a little bit of mentorship to Marcus Davenport as he continues into his second year of development with the Saints. Now, here's something to keep in mind about Wes Horton that I think is really interesting. And again, he's not somebody that's going to come in and really like light the scoreboard on fire or anything like that, like light the stat sheet on fire or anything like that. But something that's really interesting about him is that his best year in 2017 and all of those years kind of preceding 2018, he played mostly off the right side of the defensive line. That's the year that he had 5.5 sacks. Before that, in 2016, he had 2.5 sacks. Then in 2014, he had 3 sacks. So those are all greater years of productivity than in 2018, where he only had 1.5 sacks. So what's the difference? What happened? Well, in 2018, they moved him to the opposite side of the line and had him rushing from the left end position primarily. And so that was a change for him because he had spent the previous seasons rushing off the right side. The reason why that's important for the Saints defense is because in his rotational role with Marcus Davenport, he's going to be rushing off the right side because Cam Jordan plays primarily off the left, Marcus Davenport on the right. So it's going to put him back at the side where he's excelled or where he's produced greater than what we saw last season. So don't get hung up on him just having 1.5 sacks last season, because he was essentially learning a new position and rushing and having to bend from a different side of the field than what he had been accustomed to the previous 5 years of his career. So something to keep in mind. Again, he'll just be somebody to watch in camp. He's a camp body, so we'll see exactly what it is that happens with him. And maybe he's another Panther that comes in and has a resurgence, though the last Panther to come in on the defensive side was Kurt Coleman. Didn't work out great. So we'll see what happens there. But Wes Horton is now a new addition to the New Orleans Saints 90-man roster, with Darrell Williams being cut for a corresponding move. Told you we were going to be hearing that phrase a lot here coming up. And in other roster news, the Saints also brought in Brendan Trawick. He is a safety as well as a Pro Bowl special teamer in 2017 from the Tennessee Titans. He has also played with Oakland and the Baltimore Ravens as well. So he's just another special teams tryout guy. A lot of people are wondering, the Saints are really stocked up at special teams positions and things like that, with Justin Hardy, Chris Banjo, Vince Beagle, even Taysom Hill, so on and so forth, Craig Robinson. Lots of people there that serve those special teams roles. But of course, this is the first year with a new special teams coordinator, Darren Rizzi, so they're probably just getting some new names in and taking a look at some other people that, you know, might have been on Rizzi's radar before, and now they're bringing them in to give him a shot with the new coach and with the new coordinator. So that's all that is. Don't really expect anything to come of that, because the Saints also drafted Saquon Hampton, who also is a safety and has the acumen to be a great special teamer in the NFL. So we'll see what happens there, but just another name to keep an eye out on. Former Seattle Seahawk and Pro Bowl special teamer Brendan Trawick getting that tryout with the Saints. All right, y'all, before we jump to our break here, I want to tell you a little something about today's show. And it's brought to you in part by Grip 6 Belts. Their goal over at Grip 6 is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandfathers. With Father's Day right around the corner, couldn't be better timing here. And you can even get gifts for mom, wifey, your girlfriend, your sister, everybody in the family with the women's collection as well. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it carries a super low profile because the buckle lays directly up against your waist and makes for a very comfortable fit. I'm telling you, these belts are incredible. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, and no bulk. This is big, because the big problem that I have with belts is that over time, bending the belt over the buckle by the holes, my belts always end up ripping or getting all torn up and stuff like that. You ain't gotta worry about this. No buckle to go over. They fit great. These are amazing. Grip 6 has a special offer for you through the Locked On podcasts here. Grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E. Make sure you check them out. Grip6.com/lock. All right, family, welcome back to Locked On Saints, your team every day. Time now for us to take a look at some of the big stories from around the league. Haven't been able to do this in quite a while because of all of the Saints news going on. So exciting to be able to take a quick look around the NFL with some of the big stories going on there. Ian Rappaport, we'll start here. Dropped a few things on Twitter about the NFL owners and their voting with the competition committee and things like that. Of course, the owners meeting is going on now in Miami. And it looks like what's going on is that they are going to allow the competition committee the power to alter and adjust, this is per Ian Rappaport's tweet, the instant replay process for pass interference inside the last 2 minutes of the half and of the game, source said. So basically what that means is that the competition committee can take a look at this and see whether or not they actually want coaches to be able to allow to challenge pass interference penalties throughout the entirety of the game. Now, this is where you're going to hear a lot of pushback about extended time and stuff like that. But keep in mind that coaches still only get challenges, you know, get two challenges, basically. They get a third if they win. So it's not that big of a deal. It's not going to slow the game down. It's not going to do all of that. It's going to take some adjusting. There's going to be some finite stuff. But one of the big things that's going to happen with this is tuning. So what I mean by that is that they'll be doing little things probably throughout the preseason to sort of say, okay, you can't call a pass interference challenge here, but you can call it here and things like that. One example of that is that there, one of the conversations that's taking place is that you may not be able to challenge on Hail Mary plays at the end of a game or at the end of a half. And that makes sense to me, because Hail Mary plays are just kind of go up and get it and do what you can anyway, and it's kind of a dogfight in that way. So you kind of have to just either let those play out or let the flag come in if it's something blatant enough, yada yada yada. So we've seen that all throughout time, so definitely something to continue to keep an eye out on. That also means they're going to have to draw up a specific definition of what a Hail Mary is, as opposed to just something that a team can call a deep pass and then force for a challenge anyway. So, you know, within 2 minutes still going going to the booth and everything makes sense, but giving the opportunity to the coaches to challenge anytime throughout the game, something definitely to keep an eye on. Another Ian Rappaport tweet came down because the Chiefs had proposed an overtime change or an overtime consideration. The idea being that each team would be able to get a possession within overtime, and that just did not get enough votes to go on. So right now we're still sitting at, if you kick a field goal, the other team gets an opportunity, but if you score a touchdown, you get the W immediately. So still sort of sitting there with what that is. And finally, this tweet is actually per Adam Schefter on Twitter. Free agent wide receiver Jermaine Kearse worked out for the Lions. Per source, Detroit made an offer, but the two sides were unable to reach an agreement. So why does that matter to Saints fans? Well, it might not. But my thing is that I like Jermaine Kearse, and I think that Jermaine Kearse would actually be somebody that I would love to see the Saints just give a shot. We're in a place right now to where this is where the Saints usually are bringing in some veterans. We see, we just talked about Wes Horton in the last segment, bringing in some veterans, giving them a shot in training camp to sort of prove themselves and things like that. We saw them take a shot on Brandon Marshall at the end of last year. And so all I'm saying is that, Jermaine Kearse is somebody that's definitely fits the younger profile and sort of fits that younger veteran profile, something we're all accustomed here in New Orleans, thanks to the New Orleans Pelicans. So thankfully we've moved away from that, but we've always seen the Saints sort of do this, bring in veterans at the training camp and then give them the opportunity to either earn a spot or just provide some mentorship for some young players, even for just throughout training camp and things like that. And Jermaine Kearse, I like. Here's the thing about Jermaine Kearse. Over the last six seasons, he's gone for over 500 seasons in five of those years. And he's essentially played second fiddle that entire time. One season in 2017, he was a little bit more the main focus with the New York Jets, and he caught for 810 yards during that season. So we've seen him be able to do that. But for the most part, he's been an outstanding supporting role. Over 500 yards would have made him the second highest wide receiver on the Saints team last year, because again, that was just Tre'Quan Smith with 427 last season. So in 2018, he struggled a little bit more, especially with that 48.7% catch percentage, which kind of scares some people away. 37 catches, 371 yards, and a single receiving touchdown. But remember, he was also playing with a rookie quarterback during that time. Sam Darnold looked great, but he had good chemistry with guys like Chris Herndon, Robbie Anderson, and Quincy Enunwa, of course. And so, he just sort of got into where he was comfortable and didn't really spread the ball around as much. Jermaine Kearse could be somebody that could come into New Orleans Saints training camp, and whether he, ends up winning a spot on the 2019 roster, I don't know if I'd go that far, but certainly he could be somebody that could come in for a couple of months throughout the offseason and mentor the young guys on the roster, and that would be great. So definitely somebody that I'm interested in and will definitely be watching as he sort of tries to land and find a spot. I don't know what it is that he's looking for and how that factors in, because he's not going to have a star starting role in the New Orleans Saints offense, because the Saints are already locked down with what that is. But Jermaine Kearse couldn't find a deal with the Lions, somebody that I'm interested in for the Saints. I'll keep an eye out on that, and I'll keep you up to date with everything that's going on, as we always do right here on the Locked On Saints podcast, which is brought to you today in part also by Untuck It. Yes, the Untuck It shirts that Drew Brees is a part of, and these all come Drew Brees approved. Dads come in all shapes, all sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, and relaxed. If you ever wonder why your father's button-up looks so long and baggy at the end of the day, it's hard for guys to pull off a casual untucked look that isn't sloppy, but that's where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. Their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work and on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com and use the promo code NBA, National Basketball Association, NBA, to get 20% off. And again, these are all Drew Brees approved. Y'all, thank you very much for being with me today. We're going to be hopping over to the Locked On Saints Facebook group soon while you're listening to this. You might end up hearing this afterwards, but if you're hearing this by any chance before noon on Wednesday, hop over to Locked On Facebook group, doing our live Q&A. That'll be tomorrow's episode. And then Friday, we'll take a look at everything going on through OTAs and get the lowdown on all of that. But for right now, I'm going to say, as I always do, thank you so much for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the podcast. And please take some time to rate, review, share, retweet. All of that helps out a lot. Those 5-star reviews have been incredible lately. Thank you very much. Please keep those coming so that more Saints fans can find the show. To find Locked On Saints, just tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Saints at home or in your vehicle. And be sure sure to subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and of course, the new podcasting app, Himalaya, so you know when the newest episodes drop every Monday through Friday. Thank you so much for all of your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.